What's up, y'all? We have been here together for almost 2 hours, and we're supposed to have recorded 2 hours ago. And we don't, like, people think we see each other a lot, and so they think, like, oh, you get to, like, you know, you get to catch up all the time. But the reality is we're both very busy in very different seasons of life. Like, yeah. Our kids are on the opposite age spectrum, so you're, like, busy homeschooling. I'm busy in, like, we're not at school age. Mm-hmm. And so when we get together to record, we catch up on all of life and, of course, solve all of the world's problems.
We said we should have just started recording when you got to my house so that we could have, like, 2 hours of great content of just all the other things we were talking about in life. Because we are sisters. So, I mean, we probably see each other more than, like, average friends, maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
It's
like,
so busy
we'll
right
go on
now.
Walks and stuff. But, yeah, we are in different seasons with the ages of the kids. Mine are, like, teen and nine. 13 and 9, and yours
are
little.
Four and one. Barely
so they're just,
four.
It's like park dates. Like things, yeah. They're just interested in different activities
very,
at this
very
point.
Very different activities.
Sports levels.
Yeah. Okay, I want to talk about something that we don't dip our toes here.
No, because it's not our realm, really. It's not our jam.
It's not our jam. Okay, but there were just, the primaries, right? It's the primaries.
Yes.
If you live in America, you know we just had the primaries for the next presidential election, 2024. And we've got Trump and we've got Biden. And there are a lot of strong feelings on both sides. And we are not here to talk about the specifics of voting.
Okay, you just lost half the people tuning in with that.
No, actually, they're tuning in harder.
No, who did you vote for?
Yes,
who did you vote for in the primaries? No, we're not going to go there. We are not looking to enter the debate about who to vote for. That's not the point of this conversation.
Check
who you voted for and why.
Check the description. I'll spill the tea.
I will say this about voting. It is a privilege to be able to vote. And living in a country where you have freedom, where you can actually vote, and I know even that statement's probably going to cause a lot of controversy. Like, but it's all rigged. I took my boys with me to vote, and it was really awesome because they got to see, and they've seen it before, but they got to see the process, and my boys are adopted from Ukraine. So them getting to see, like, the American process of the freedom to vote, the choice that we have to get out and do that. And they were kind of asking me on the way, like, oh, do you have to pay for this? Like, and I said, no, it's a freedom. And so it was like this really great conversation just about freedom and privilege of living in a country where you can choose your leaders. Not every country has that, regardless of how you feel about being rigged and all that other stuff. But they got to go in with me. And then the people who were volunteering there, you know, running the polls, they were like, oh, here, let the kids select. Like, you make the choices, but we're totally fine with them, like, using the little back of the pencil and, like, clicking the buttons and picking who you vote for. And so they got to be really involved. Yeah. And then they got a sticker that said future voter.
Yes.
I got the sticker of this and I voted. And it was just, I don't know. Yeah. I thought the experience was cool. And it brought up a lot of interesting conversations just about politics and voting and freedom and the president and all that stuff.
Which brings us to another question that we're not going to address today. Should women vote?
Ooh.
Should women vote, but has that change of women voting been good for our country or not?
That's you're talking about, like, women's suffrage? Like, going way back.
That's a completely different conversation. Actually, what we really want to talk about today, and I experience this a lot, when I start, like, there are so many podcasts and so many people talking about, like, what's going to happen. And depending on which side of the aisle you're on, it's like everyone on one side of the aisle is like, if this person becomes president, we're, like, doomed. It's the end. We're all just going to die. And then the other side saying the exact same thing. And there is so much fear, so much anxiety. Like, people are like, I'm going to leave the country or there's just no future. Mm-hmm. You see people literally, like, breaking down and crying and weeping on camera, you know, when their person doesn't become president. And it's just like
hysterical.
Yeah. So it's, I know for me, when I really start consuming a lot of these podcasts and stuff that are just so politically based, not that I don't want to be informed, but when I just become kind of obsessed or just, I don't know, I start to experience, like, a lot of that fear and anxiety.
Mm.
Do you experience that?
Yeah, for sure. Well, you start to feel like, I mean, because you have a choice in who you vote for, like, you build, I think the tendency is that you build all of your hope around this person that you're voting for becoming elected and all the things that you feel like, I stand behind this person for these reasons. And no, not any, no politicians are perfect. They all have their flaws. Whoever you vote for They all have their issues, but you're standing behind because there's something about the person you voted for that you believe in, why they would be a better option to run our country. And when that, if it doesn't happen, you know, the opposite's elected, then there is that fear of like, all my hopes are set in this person and all they were going to bring to our country and the freedoms and the things I believe in. And now that's not going to happen, or it's going to look really different. And I remember, I won't say when this was, but it was a while ago. Zach and I were early in our marriage and we watched this documentary. I won't say what that was either. Yeah. I don't know why. It just feels like it's going to bring up a rabbit trail.
It's beside the point.
It's beside the point, but it was all about like, you know, if so-and-so becomes president, like America's doomed.
Yeah.
It was one of those. And you know, it was kind of trending. So we're like, we'll watch it and we'll just check it out. It had an impact on me.
Wow.
Because all of the things it was saying, like we're doomed if this happens, if this person, if that person, and it's basically everything that the documentary pointed out on how we were going to be doomed as a people. It kind of happened with who ended up getting elected in the sense that, well, it didn't happen, but they, no.
I'm still alive.
The person that they said, if this person gets elected, then this is what's going to happen. And so when that person got elected, all of the weight of everything they talked about, I felt the weight of that and the anxiety and the fear of like, everything they said is probably going to come true. And like, I was struggling so much. And I remember that Zach and I stayed up super late into the night waiting for all of the, you know, all the votes to come in so we could see who the next president was for this particular election. And then, you know, it came in and it was the person that this documentary had said were doomed if they become president. And I just remember crying.
Oh my gosh, you were the hysterical person.
I was. And telling Zach with passion, I said, babe, we need to do something about this. And I said, you need to run for president. Like I'm in that moment of like fear. It was honestly fear that was driving my heart of like, I am so fearful about what's going to happen over these next 4 years. Yeah. And so I was literally pleading with him, like, please, would you pray about this? Would you consider this? Like, we need godly leaders. We need, you know, strong men, which is true. And I just remember like all my hopes in that moment were like, you just need, I was like putting it all on him. I mean, poor guy, we're like freshly married and he's like,
now I have to run for president.
He wasn't even old enough to run for president. He's like,
probably be a good president.
I mean, I don't want him to be the president anymore. I'm good. But it was just interesting to see my heart in response to all the things that I thought would or wouldn't happen. And when it wasn't, it's like, it really showed me where my trust was. Like, it wasn't in the Lord and it wasn't in trusting him with the outcome of the election for better or for worse. Like, yeah, there are ramifications. Like, that's why vote because we care. And we vote for the people that we want in leadership, but it was just interesting to see my heart.
Yes.
And thankfully I did recover and I stopped asking him to run for president.
But it can feel that serious, right?
Like, oh yeah. And I mean, have you ever felt, you've probably never asked Dave to run for president.
That is the last thing. I am all about I'm passionate about that stuff and I want to make an impact, but I probably could see myself, him making an impact, a greater impact in making change, not that way.
I thought you were about to say, I could see myself running for president.
I thought you were about to say that. Like, you know, I think the work we do here at Girl Defined matters, and we're able to reach, you know, the sisterhood across the world. And it's like, that's something amazing that we can do with technology. And so it's like, I just think there are so many ways, like getting involved locally and in your local communities. And I would say my husband, Dave, is way more passionate about that, like interacting with like real people in our community, like more,
like on the political scene, you're saying,
just
or
like with people, you
just
know,
relationships like, in general.
Yeah. Like, cause ultimately it does come down to the laws impact the people. It's ultimately all about the people. So I think we both just see people, like, we don't need to be president. We don't need to be on the White House.
You don't. Are you sure?
And I don't know. I mean, here at Girl Defined, it's like we've gotten a teeny, teeny, tiny taste.
A little small taste
of being in the public eye in a very small way. I just cannot even fathom. Like, literally,
I know. On a national, international scale.
And it's not like we might talk about the haters or whatever. It's like, no. Like, I know. You're the president. People literally want to, like, kill you. So
well,
it's like,
and many have been assassinated.
So I don't know. But I think the biggest thing that I think about as this is becoming like the talk and it's going to be on every, you know, every podcast, I think for me, it's like, one, just being really careful and cautious about what I'm consuming and why I'm consuming it. And I don't want to avoid it out of fear, but I don't want to listen out of fear too. You know, like, I know for especially a lot of us, like in the millennial age range, which is a lot of the sisterhood, we kind of like it's this weird thing, you know, like you hear about it, like true crime podcasts or even just like doomsday or like even like, oh, what's going to happen in the politics? We can almost become like obsessed, and we're already like moms, like stressed out. Like I'm struggling with patience. Let me hear how this person's going to die.
You were just saying like you hardly slept last night because your kids were up all night.
It's like,
and then you wake up and then you consume tons of media that is like very much like exaggerated and dramatized. I mean, it's meant to captivate us. So it has to be extreme. Yeah. But
so that's the caution for myself. Yeah. And I think it's just like, okay, in this season of life that I'm in, like we're both, like I'm, I have two little kids. Like what is going to like, yes, I want to be informed, but I think a lot of us are over informed and we're just consuming so much and we're not actually even like we're losing sight of the purpose that God has set before us. Like we have, whether it's the kids we've been given or the community we're a part of, the family we're a part of, the church we're a part of, the job that we're at, like we can lose sight of the people right in front of us and even be crippled by this fear of this big, you know, big thing that's going to happen. And it's like, it matters. Yeah. But I think that we like, I don't know. I think our focus can determine a lot of like our anxiety, you know?
Well, for sure. So like the hard part for me is, because I like listening to political shows. Like, I find them interesting.
Though? Like, how much are we talking?
Okay. Yeah.
Like, yeah, be honest.
Yeah, okay.
Like, are you talking an episode a day? Are you talking two episodes
a
day?
Maybe like an episode a day.
And what kind? I mean, you don't have to say which, but like...
Yeah, I mean, episodes where, like, they'll cover political stuff pretty much every episode. It's not going to be like the whole entire thing's going to be
talking
that.
Like Albert Mueller, the briefing or other stuff.
I mean, I do love Albert Mueller,
which I think can be helpful because he brings in a biblical perspective. Yes. So if you have an Albert Mueller, he runs a show called The Briefing and it's all about a Christian worldview on like,
it's like news and politics and like current events, but from a Christian worldview. So like trying to see all of the things that are happening, like the biggest news each day, basically. And how do we view it as Christians, which I find that really helpful because you're not just getting like a secular input of like news without anyone kind of discipling you and how to process the news and how to think about it and how to ultimately put your trust in God.
I like that.
And I like that he brings in the news, but then you also get that angle of like, but here's why we can trust God. Like here's God's character in this, or theological truths that anchor, undergird how we even process what we're seeing and give us hope.
But that's not what you're listening
I
to.
I know. But I do listen to Albert Mueller. I do.
Yeah.
But I mean, not every day. I used to be like so faithful every morning. It was like,
yes.
I kind of want to get back on that though, because I think that would help my heart too. But my question is, and I think a lot of us wonder this, like how much is too much, but how much is too little? Like, could it be too little? Is it okay to like complete? Some people I know are like, I don't even want to get involved. Yeah. Like I will vote. I'll vote on, you know, someone I trust. They tell me like vote for this person. I'll vote for them. But I don't want to know. I don't want to get involved. I don't even want to enter that scene because it's just so messed up in so many ways. And like the drama and the, you know, all the ups and downs and the anxiety and the fear of like everything. It's almost like easier just to say, I'm not even going to go there.
Totally.
But then you have the opposite where it's like obsessive. You're like everything, you're tuned in. And then it is in many ways fueling this fear, this anxiety because you're so involved and you're like riding every wave, every up and down. So like, how do you find that balance?
Yeah. I mean, I think it really depends on season of life too. Like, I think for me, it's like, I'm in a season with two little kids and I, you know, they just need a lot of physical affection. Audrey's still nursing a lot. It's just like, you know, they're up in the night and it just my nervous system can only handle so much in my brain. When I start, one, like distracting myself with a lot of other things and then getting like stressed out and anxious, it's harder for me to really serve my kids well and my family well and love them and have patience and kindness. And so a lot of us, as like, if you're in that stage of life, like as a mom, it's like we're running on caffeine, we're barely getting any sleep, our hormones are whacked, we're not like nourishing ourselves in the way that we should. And then we're adding all this anxious political stuff. Like, I don't know if that is like biblically, that's definitely not a requirement. But we do have direction in scripture of what we should be doing as godly women and as moms. And we know, you know, like loving the kinds of fruits of the spirits we should have. Mm-hmm. And if there are things that make it more difficult to do that, I wonder if that is the best choice in that season. So I view it a little bit more of like season of life, capacity, just being realistic with like the capacity we have in that season, you know? So for me, I have found like, truthfully, like, I was telling you, like, my church, we do these book studies once a month, and it's really cool because, you know, we alternate, which might sound kind of funny. It's like we alternate from fiction to nonfiction, and we just read really influential works and writings and stuff, and it's been great, and it's been super encouraging.
But these are, we're not just talking, people don't know what category. It's like fiction, nonfiction. These are deep books.
Well, yeah, like,
the lot of them are pretty, you've got to be engaged. Like, you were just reading, like, the Nancy Piercy Saving Leonardo.
Oh, we did that one. Yeah. I'm reading one. Okay, so we're reading one this month, which is hilarious, but it's written by this Catholic nun from the 1500s. And the reason we're reading it is because during her time, she was massive and very influential with her perspectives on prayer. She's like a mystic. It's kind of like interesting, but because she was such an influential woman in the 1500s in the religious space, we're like, hey, this would be a really interesting thing to read and discuss as Christian women living in our day. So, but it's like, you got to really dig in, you know, and focus. So anyway, all that to say, for me, I've chosen to make these books that we're studying a priority so that I can show up, because we read one book a month, so that I can show up and actually really benefit from these discussions. And I found that, like, if I have, you know, so much time during the day for extras, like a podcast or listening to my audiobook or whatever, it's like, I found that I kind of have to stay on top of it with these books or else I don't finish by the time we have these book studies. So I found for me, like, okay, I only have so much time. So I'm going to choose to invest into certain things. And I haven't been really listening to many political episodes or podcasts. Yeah. Like, I can't even think of the last time. And I used to be like an avid listener.
Yeah, I know.
And it's actually,
but it's the capacity you're recognizing. Yeah. I don't have as much space emotionally, even in my time to be faithful to my children.
Totally.
It's just not fitting in this season at this time.
And there are some people in our church that are extremely involved politically and that we really trust and respect. And they are very involved. And so I do really trust a lot of their recommendations, and they kind of, you know, we're at dinner and we can discuss it. And to me, it's more like an in-person relationship with someone who is steeped in all of that, who has values and a worldview that I share. And so I can be like, hey, what do I need to know? Why? They give me the inside scoop. And it's not like I base everything just off of them, but I found that to be more beneficial than just consuming hours and hours. It gives me a headache right now.
It sounds like you just need to listen to Albert Mueller and do the briefing once a day.
I know. Maybe can you have like a weekly recap?
That's a great idea.
You know,
if you wanted to, if you're like, man, I wish I could be a tiny bit in the know. That would be, it's like the episodes are less than 30 minutes. I mean,
you're feeling tired, literally, like,
just even thinking about it.
I mean, your kids are in a different stage of life, though, so I don't know what it's like for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as into it as I once was. Yeah. I remember with the last election, like, I was listening to, I don't know, probably a couple hours a day. But, like, as I'm multitasking, right? So I'm, like, doing laundry, I'm going on a walk, I'm, you know, in the car driving to the grocery store, whatever, and it's like, I get 20 minutes in here, 20 minutes in there, but it was just like kind of this constant input and this flow. And for that season of life, I mean, I had more capacity. That was before we had the boys. And so it just felt like more doable, I guess. But I think that what I needed, even looking back then, was I probably needed more balance like those, like that input. And, like, Zach is into politics, too.
Yes.
And so, like, him and I, like, we would discuss things and we would have, like, conversations at dinner and just, like, we both like to talk about it. And so it was nice being informed, too, because then, like, he and I could engage in, like, these more in-depth conversations and then with other friends. But I think I could have had more balance in trying to get more, like, spiritual input and, like, more just, like, help with, like, thinking through everything and processing it from, like, a worldview standpoint. And I don't remember it causing any particular anxiety the time before. That was like a couple elections ago when I was like crying and asking Zach to run for president. That I think I had grown since then. But I don't know. Even looking back, I'm like, that was a lot of time. Totally. Like, that was a lot of consumption. And in the end, I'm not totally sure what it did for me.
Yeah, totally. Or what impact it made you had on the community or the nation or whatever.
I mean, what is the saying? It's like, politics matter because policies matter because people matter. Isn't that like the three P's?
I mean,
correct us if it's wrong, but it's like something like that. Like, oh, why should Christians care about politics? Like, that's the argument I've heard. Well, it's because politics matter, because the policies matter and the people matter. And I do agree with that. Like, so I think not caring at all, like 100% zero, and like to the point where maybe you don't even vote.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I haven't thought about that too deeply. I'm thinking out loud right now. Like, I think because we have the freedom in America to be a part of voting for things. And because
she's
we care...
She's talked about this multiple times now.
Because of the people. We care about the people. Yeah. And we do care about policies that, as Christians, a lot of the policies do impact, like, decisions for our cities and our states.
There are a lot of perspectives. This isn't where we were planning on...
This isn't where we were planning on going. Why am I taking us there?
The point is, when you can go, people are like, yes, keep going. You can. But I think the point is
you
is
are
that,
letting me go. You just cut me off.
I'm like, you can get going. Let me intercept.
Well,
here
okay.
Really
so I don't know if you've heard, but Girl Defined, we recently launched a membership program.
Wait,
so
this is like a commercial.
No, this ties in.
Okay, come on. I know. I just like cut her off, and I'm like, let me tell you about our membership. No, it really ties in, and you'll see why. Stick with me, because Trump's a guest speaker, and Biden's next month. No, I'm kidding. The point is that. There can be so much anxiety, so much uncertainty, like medications and just counseling and therapy have like skyrocketed in a way that I think is like unusually high for women, particularly with the anxiety and depression and just feeling like overwhelmed with life, just like, you know, panic attack and just like, and there's a lot that can go into that. But I think just having so much, being able to consume so much of the world in a way that has never been done in history before.
It's true.
It's just like we are trying to carry mountains throughout our day. And so the reason I'm telling you about this membership is because we have wanted to have a tight community where the sisterhood could come together to be encouraged, to be spiritually like charged up in the word, to have prayer, to be able to build friendships, to be able to be like really like encouraged to be able to live in this world in a way that we're not crippled by anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I think it's... the next month in April, we are releasing a workshop within the membership specifically
this
on
is true. Battling,
anxiety.
Yeah. Fear, anxiety, and worry.
And I think that a month where we're focusing on battling this is something every woman could benefit from, especially when we're in this season, political season, especially in America, where it feels like so much anxiety and fear. Yeah. So if you want to be a part of that and you're like, wow, I would love to be a part of a tight-knit community where we are personally involved, like we are doing live, live workshops. We're doing like all of this stuff in a way we've never done with Girl Defined before because we're so passionate about this like discipleship in these tight knit communities. So if you want to be a part of that, just go to girldefined.com/membership. And this is going to be your place to get that really great discipleship, encouragement, just that walking life to life. And I know a lot of us crave that community. Some of us don't have that in person. We don't have that. And so we're like, where can I find that? This private membership community is where you can get that. And I was thinking of it specifically because of that workshop on anxiety. And I just think that right now, more than ever, we need biblical encouragement to remind us like, okay, even if literally, even if the next president is the Antichrist, you know, they always saying that like the next one's the Antichrist. Even if it's like literally the most evil person you could think of in your mind, we can look throughout scripture over time and see those people don't rule. As Nancy DeMoss would say, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth would say, heaven rules. Like one of her recent books, heaven rules. Like God rules. Ultimately, like he is in charge. He is in control. Nothing is done that he doesn't have a plan ultimately for. And one day we will, as Christians, be united with him in eternity in heaven. And so it's like we can have hope. Yeah. Like we can know that. We can have that eternal hope. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Yeah. Like we need to be reminded to take that step back and to be able to remember like what, like who ultimately, like where is our hope found? It's not in the next president. It's not in the next influential leader. It's not in, you know, whoever. It's not in any of that. It's not even truly in peaceful times. Like that's not where our hope lies. It's not in having an easy life. It's like our hope is found in Christ. And that's what eases the anxiety. Mm-hmm. That's what gives us like rest. And so it would just be amazing if we could walk as Christian women through this, you know, from now until November, this big season with more peace than we've ever had before because of that focus. And that's what we're going to get inside the membership. So if you have not joined, girldefined.com/membership, you better be there.
I will just say a side note on, like, before we circle back to my whole, like, voting thing.
Yes, I know.
is the membership is so fun because we get to interact with you guys in a personal way that is different than this podcast, that is different than our social media. Like, the way that we get to, like, share videos inside the portal. Like, there's a community page where it's so fun. Yeah. And you guys are getting to know each other, those of you who are already in there. And so it's just like a... an exclusive like hangout spot where it's a safe place where we can all talk about stuff and like discuss the workshops and pray for each other, dig deeper into content. It's just a unique, it's a unique space. Yeah. So I'm really excited about it. We aren't discussing a lot of politics over there. So if you're like, I'm done with this, come on down to the membership.
Yeah, we're not trying to, we're like, don't discuss politics. Now let's talk about
politics matter because policies matter because people matter.
She's got a lot of talking points.
I think
first lady.
Maybe I should get back on my bandwagon.
Okay. How do you have peace as a Christian woman when you're feeling
like, I think it's a privilege to be able to vote. I'll just put that out there. This is going somewhere. But in that, I think it's voting because of all the things we've already said, like the policies and the people. But like you said, when things don't turn out the way that you hoped, or the policies that you voted for, the people and the policies that you are like, I believe this would be totally better for our country.
Yeah.
This aligns with my Christian values. Like, this is going to steer our country in a better direction. You know, and a lot of that could be true. Things don't happen. That is when the rubber meets the road. And you're like, for me, where my hope is exposed in those moments of when things do not turn out at all the way that I had hoped for, the way I voted. So it's like having that recognition of like, I'm taking the step of action, but ultimately what happens is in the Lord's hands, and his greatest mission, like you were saying, isn't to give us just an easy life. It isn't just to make our country, you know, like to give us these perfect leaders. Like I was just, even when you were talking, thinking about the disciples and back when Jesus walked on the earth and the type of political system that they were under with the Roman Empire, you know, and the disciples are like, all right, Jesus, so when are you going to overthrow Rome? Like, when are we going to get to that? Because like time is ticking. Like they weren't getting it that Jesus wasn't there to overthrow Rome and to like dismantle the political system of the day and basically provide his kingdom on earth in the sense of like he's ruling and now they're, you know, the Romans are overthrown and it's like the Christians. Like that wasn't even Jesus's agenda back then in a physical sense. He was trying to tell them like, you know, give to Caesar what Caesar's, but give to God what's God's, in the sense of like what matters is what he's doing spiritually in hearts, like his mission for the gospel to die on the cross, to, you know, take our punishment for sin, like upon himself, like the sin of the world, ultimately rise again, be victorious over death, and then begin building his kingdom through the establishment of his church. Like we see this mission and this vision, and for Christians today, from my heart today, it's like, it's helpful for me to remember that. Yeah. Like his greatest mission was to build his kingdom on earth through discipleship and the hearts of those who follow him. And so when I do start to get fearful and worried, and when I do feel like, okay, I'm going to take these steps of action, I know some of you listening might be really involved in politics where you're like going door to door and like, you know, and there's a place for all of this. Or, and then there's the opposite, right? Those of you who are like, I don't even care. I don't want to get involved. It's like, regardless, like the same underlying heart as believers to trust in the Lord and to find our hope in him, regardless of what happens and recognize like an easy life isn't, that's not the goal. That's not promised. Yeah. And like, that shouldn't be the goal. That's not what God promises to us, but he does promise to use whatever comes our way and whatever culture, country, political system we're under, that he is enough. Like that he is ultimately on the throne, that heaven does rule and that we can trust in his ultimate plan. One of the examples that we give in our book, Not Part of the Plan, Trusting God with the Twists and Turns of Your Story, where I share a lot about my infertility journey, adoption. You talk a lot about your journey of singleness and like longings and getting married. It's a great read if you're like, I am struggling to trust God with all the political stuff or something totally different, like singleness or infertility or a job or whatever. Not Part of the Plan would be a great resource. But one of the illustrations that we give is that it's like our life, what we can see is basically what's right in front of us. And we talk about this example of like, for us as humans living on this earth, we're basically viewing everything through a tiny straw, like our vantage point of how much we can see, of how much God is doing. So the next time you have a straw, just pick it up and look through it. Or imagine right now, like looking through a tiny straw and imagine looking around the room and how much can you see? Like hardly anything. It's like, you can see what's right in front of you, but there, you know, and if you take the straw down, it's like, wow, look at this room. There's so much more to see. And as humans, finite beings, that's all we can see. Like our vantage point is so narrow. And yet the God of the universe who made everything, who made us, who has a plan and a purpose and who promises for believers that he is working out all things for our good and his glory, he sees everything. He is not confined to a straw. Sure. He sees the past, the present, the future. He is working all things out for our good and his glory. And so we have to trust that God. And that's what we get after in the book is our trust isn't in what we can see.
For sure.
It's not in the tiny little narrow straw view of the outcome that we hope for, the fears that we have. It's ultimately our trust is in the everlasting God who was and is and is to come.
Yeah.
The God on the throne, heaven rules. We don't have all the answers for why things happen the way they do. None of us do. But we can trust that God does and that his plan is good, even if it includes trials, suffering, people getting elected that we don't want to be in office. Like, we can still find hope because our trust is in God.
Yeah.
And that's what encourages me.
For me, it's encouraging because I think 2024 is kind of random. Like, just saying.
Year is random? What do you mean?
What I mean in random is, like, if I had all the people in the world to pick from for who could be president of America, it would not be the options we have, personally. So it's just like,
would you like to expand on that some more and get into the details?
I mean, I know a lot of people feel that way.
Yes, it's just I agree.
Anyway, yes. The most important question is, though, like, how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
You know how that's been going around?
Like, of course. So many men are like, oh, only twice a week. It's like, I never think about the Roman.
Okay, well,
do you actually think about it?
No, it's a question for men, not for women.
Maybe you think about it. I don't know.
No, well, I just talked about it.
I know, that's why I was thinking of it.
I just brought it up. That's probably, the only time I brought it up in the past few months. But I asked Zach that question that was circulating, and he was like, I think he felt almost kind of bad because it's like, all the manly men think about the Roman Empire. And he was like, I don't really actually think about it.
Oh.
It was kind of a funny conversation. I'm like, that's okay. You're still a man. It's okay.
But he's not like a huge history buff or, he's a man's man. Like, he's a hunter. Like, all these things. But
he doesn't have to think about the
Roman Empire. He doesn't have to think about the Roman Empire. Did you ask Dave?
Yes. And I can't remember what he said, but I remember thinking I felt like what he said he thought wasn't very much, but it was like way more than I ever would.
Interesting.
It was like,
even if it's
like
once
that.
A month, it's like, well, I don't ever think about it.
I mean, okay. All that aside though, really, we as Christian women have the ability to have a source of peace beyond this earth, beyond this life. This isn't the end, And so for me, that's what brings so much hope is just thinking I love thinking of the entire story of scripture from start to finish. And that's why it's so important to be a woman who knows the word, who is in the word, who is listening, even on, as you drive, listening to this, there's a bigger story. It's not just about pulling nuggets. I have this verse and I have this verse. That can be really helpful, but understanding the full story of scripture and knowing in the beginning, God did create us to be in perfect intimacy with him. That was broken. Then Jesus came. And ultimately one day it's we as believers will be face to face with him again. And in that perfect garden, it was meant to be in the very beginning. And honestly, that is a very, 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 very high level view. But that understanding of what was and what happened and what's to be is so encouraging to me and gives me so much rest and hope in all the hard seasons of life. And so I just want to encourage you with that there is so much hope because of what's to come, but also knowing that we have access to the Holy Spirit, which we were just talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm not 100%, it can be confusing to understand the Holy Spirit, but we know. Offset, we were talking about
the Holy Spirit. And we know he's the helper. And even Jesus said, it's better for you to have the helper than for me to even be here, in the Gospels. Yeah. And so it's we literally as believers have the Holy Spirit and we have access to literally communicate through prayer with God. We have the word. And how often do we actually take advantage of this incredible relationship with God that we've been given access, to the word in a way that people haven't had throughout history. So I just want to encourage you to evaluate how much time am I spending worrying about things, listening to this podcast, and how much time am I actually spending like in the Word or listening to, you know, maybe like Albert Muller, where he's actually going to bring in that biblical perspective. Just be intentional and be careful as a Christian woman. And if you are like in that season of life with little kids, or you're just a busy mom, or you're like, man, my marriage is in a hard place and I need to like give more energy to this, like be intentional with your time and just know it's okay if you need to take a step back, if you need to fill your mind with things that are more scriptural or life-giving in that sense. Like, this is just, you're like okay to take that step back. I've had to do that, and it's been really helpful. And I haven't experienced very much anxiety in the political area because I just know right now that is not going to help me love my family well.
Yes. So I was trying to add one more P to the three P's.
Gosh.
Shocking. But it was a good one, because if politics matter because policies matter because people matter, then prayer should matter as Christians. Wow. You were saying like the prayer thing and how Jesus intercedes for us on our behalf, the Holy Spirit, like this all relates, because if we prayed more about the things that we worry about, more
true.
Like taking them to the Lord and even surrendering to the Lord some of our fears and anxieties about what's happening politically, then I think another P would be we'd have more peace.
You're the like queen of all these little sayings.
I love acronyms and rhymes.
Yes. She's okay. Just always.
So I think as Christians, the focus could be though, the prayer, and through prayer and trusting in God, peace does come. And I can back it up with scripture, because this is my favorite verse, and it's like, just feels like it's relevant for everything, but really mainly trusting God, which is what we're talking about here. Isaiah 26, 3-4. This has been a theme verse, I feel like, in my heart for the past few years, especially through the adoption of our boys. Like, this was just kind of on repeat in my heart. But it's so encouraging. And notice the P's in this one. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock. And that verse, it, in the context of this passage, I mean, the title of this chapter in Isaiah is You Keep Him in Perfect Peace. Like, how amazing to think about, regardless of how tumultuous and crazy and like this roller coaster of politics that we ride, you know, right now, especially this year, it's like the more wild ride than ever, that God promises that for those who keep their mind on him, notice peace isn't just a byproduct of just, oh, I believe in God, I read my Bible, so therefore I should have peace. There's actually action that we have to take, and the action is that we have to set our mind on him. That God gives perfect peace to those whose minds are stayed on him. And why do we set our mind on the Lord? Well, he's God, but the verse says, because he trusts in you. So as believers, we can rest in the fact that in the midst of all the craziness, whatever you're going through, whatever your fears are, even if it's not politically related, that God promises to give us this perfect peace because we trust in him. And so therefore we're setting our minds on him. Every time something happens, we feel that fear, we can go to prayer and say, God, help me to set my mind on you, to trust in you with the outcome of the situation, to trust in you for what's going to happen later today, for what's going to happen tomorrow, for whoever the president's going to be. Lord, help me to ultimately put my hope and my trust in you. And that is actively guiding our thoughts, guiding our emotions, guiding our feelings with truth, with God's word, and choosing to set our mind on him.
For sure.
And then as a result of all of that, God says, when you do that as a believer, then I will give you that perfect peace. And then just that reminder in verse 4 that trust in the Lord forever, not just today, not just tomorrow. It's like forever. Forever, because God is trustworthy. He's an everlasting rock, like everlasting. That means never ending. He's our strong place. Like, politics are not our strong. Like, that's not our firm foundation. Getting our prayers answered in a specific way, that's not our firm foundation. Like, our firm foundation has to be in the everlasting rock who never changes, who is always the same, whose character we can count on, the God who died for us, the God who gave us new life. The God who's working all things for our good and his glory, he's our everlasting rock. And as we trust in him, we can find that perfect peace. And I am so thankful for that.
Absolutely.
I'm done with all the peace.
Amen. And if you want more intentional discipleship like that, again, you've got to join our membership, which hasn't been up and running for that long. It's something we've wanted to do for years now, and we finally have made it happen because we want to have that intentional discipleship in that community. So girldefined.com/membership. We would love to see you for our next workshop. When you join, you get access to all the previous workshops, the, you know, the guides, the resources, the community, everything. So girldefined.com/membership. We will see you again next week.